you know, I feel I'm already, you know, one of the top prospects in this year's draft, and I can only keep getting better.
There's a lot of really good quarterbacks in this draft that I think will play for a long time.
It's about what you do after this process, and that's what I've been focused on more than anything. I always say I'm going to play the NFL. I never knew I could have a chance to be the first pick in the draft.
That was a smattering of the players who will be drafted either tonight or tomorrow night here in New York City at Radio City Music Hall. Greetings from 30 Rock, where we're going to be doing PFT Live and PFT on NBCSN over the next 2 days. We've got some great interviews coming up that I did earlier this morning with four of the prospects who will be attending the draft tonight and tomorrow if need be. But before then, I want to go over the latest information that we have as we try to figure out exactly what is going to happen in this draft, because unlike any year that I can remember, there isn't a clear sense of what teams are going to do. Now, with that said, last year at this time, it wasn't clear that the Chiefs were going to take Eric Fisher, the tackle, over Luke Jokel, another tackle. That became more clear later in the afternoon. But this is uncertain and vague and ambiguous from top to bottom. But we're starting to get a sense of what will happen. Let's begin with number one, with the Houston Texans. Right now, the sense among many league insiders is that the Texans will take Jadeveon Clowney with that first overall pick. But that's coming from the idea that the Texans, in their trade talks with teams that may want to trade up to take Clowney, that the Texans' alternative is to just take Clowney themselves. So the question is, will they follow through on it? If they can't find a team that will give them what they want, will they follow through on their promise slash threat to take Clowney? The other question that folks have is whether or not the Texans will cut their price and do the best deal that they can do at the time that they have to turn in the card, taking whatever they can to move down, get someone else, and pass on Clowney. But as of right now, the thinking is they are going to take Clowney because Clowney is the guy that they're telling all the teams, hey, if you don't trade up to take him, we're going to take him. That leaves the Rams at number two, and the thinking is they'll take Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle from Auburn. There's talk the Rams would like to trade down. 2 years ago, they got three first-round picks and a second-round pick to trade down four spots. We have to forget about that. We have to forget about the RG3 trade. That was to get a player. I know the Texans would like to get an RG3-type haul. You do that for a certain quarterback. You don't do it for a defensive player, and that's kind of where the Falcons, not the Falcons, but the Texans and the Rams, more on the Falcons, coming up. But as of right now, if the Rams don't trade, look for them to take Greg Robinson at number two. And then number three, the Jaguars are being connected more and more closely to Khalil Mack, the linebacker from the University of Buffalo. Some think the Texans could take him at number one if they don't trade down. If Mack is there at number three, don't be surprised if the Jaguars take him. People think it's down to Mack, Sammy Watkins, and Johnny Manziel for the Jaguars at number three. But Mack, more and more buzz as we get closer to 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight when the draft gets started. Mack is the guy whose name keeps coming up. And then that brings us to number four, the Cleveland Browns. Strong indications that they would take tackle Jake Matthews from Texas A&M, and I know they've got Joe Thomas. He was the third overall pick 7 years ago, but more and more teams are realizing you need to have bookends, great pass blockers on each side of the line of scrimmage to deal with today's trend toward having the pass rushers come from every possible direction. So Browns tackle Jake Matthews. That's the current thinking at number four. And then number five, both receivers are on the board, and we posted earlier today at ProFootballTalk.com that if both Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans are there, that the Raiders actually like Evans more than Watkins. So at one time, people were thinking Watkins would be gone by pick two or three. He could be still there after the fifth pick if the Raiders go Evans over Watkins. And then that creates an interesting situation. The Falcons may have a different adjective for that at number six, because a receiver, whether it's Evans or Watkins, will be on the board. Quarterbacks will be available. Aaron Donald, the defensive tackle, is available, and the Falcons aren't believed to be interested in him. What do the Falcons do? If they play this out the way I just did, the thinking is maybe the Falcons panic and trade up to get Clowney or Mack, that may be what they do, or a tackle, that they would trade up if they see that they're not going to have a guy there at number six that they should take. The other alternative is trade down and take a Zach Martin or Taylor Lewan, a couple of the other tackles. You could dangle that pick if someone wants to come up for Sammy Watkins, the Lions or the Bills. If he's there at number six, Falcons could trade down and still get a tackle. So it's going to be an interesting situation, to say the least, for the Falcons if it plays out in the top five the way that it looks like it could play out for now. And then you get past the Falcons to number seven, What would the Buccaneers do if Johnny Manziel's on the board? There was a rumor earlier this week that they'd like to move up to number two to take Manziel. Would they take Manziel at number seven? Would they take Aaron Donald? The target zone right now for Donald is 7 to 10. Any of the four teams from 7 to 10 could take Aaron Donald, including the Buccaneers. Even though they've signed Clinton McDonald, they've signed Michael Johnson, they've got Gerald McCoy, Lovie Smith may not be able to resist a guy who could be the next Warren Sapp, and that's Aaron Donald. If he gets past number 7, the Vikings will have to choose between Donald or a quarterback. Blake Bortles over Johnny Manziel at number 9. If Sammy Watkins is still there, it's a no-brainer for the Bills. It's unlikely he will be there at number 9. That's a hot spot for Aaron Donald or the best available tackle. And then number 10, if Aaron Donald's there, that's the floor at the Detroit Lions at number 10. Receiver, if Watkins or Evans is still there, that's unlikely at this point. Or cornerback, I believe, would be the pick for the Lions if Donald is gone and if both Evans and Watkins are gone. Any of these teams could trade up or trade down. And I'm going to reiterate the point that I've been making, because I was vindicated to a certain extent. There's an item out there, we linked to it earlier today, an economic study done over the years as to whether or not it makes sense to trade up or trade down. And the conclusion is it always makes sense to trade down. It rarely makes sense to trade up, because despite all the obsession and the analysis and the tangibles and intangibles and measurables and unmeasurables, if that's even a word, the reality is this process is a crapshoot. So the more tickets you have, the better chance you have that you're going to find players who can come in and contribute. We don't know what any of these guys are going to do, and it's time to show up at the NFL level and perform. If you come out of it with more players, there's a good chance you're going to get lucky and you're going to get more guys who can be strong players for your team come 2014 and beyond. When we come back, we're going to talk to one of the guys who very well could be exiting the green room and walking out into the middle of the stage tonight for a bear hug from Commissioner Roger Goodell. That's Bradley Roby of Ohio State. And after that, we'll have one-on-ones I conducted earlier today with Blake Bortles, the Central Florida quarterback who could be a top 10 pick, Johnny Manziel, no one knows where he's going to be, and Mike Evans, the receiver from Texas A&M who could go as high as number 5. We'll be back after the break with Bradley Roby, Ohio State cornerback. Stick around. This is PFT Live. We are here in New York City for the 2014 NFL Draft, back at 30 Rock again as we get ready for the festivities, which begin tonight and continue through Saturday, a couple weeks later than usual. But you know what? It's all good, because the time has come to get this thing rolling. And the time has come to get rolling an interview that I conducted earlier today with one of the guys who very well could be drafted tonight, Bradley Roby, Ohio State cornerback. He's had an interesting incident off the field in recent weeks. He talks about how that citation for operating a vehicle while intoxicated, he ultimately pleaded guilty to a reduced charge, how that has taught him lessons moving forward and how he plans to deal with that as his NFL career begins. Here he is from earlier today, Ohio State cornerback Bradley Roby. It's finally here. Did it feel like we're never going to get to the point where the draft actually begins?
Yeah, it has been a while. You know, just the whole process is kind of long. You know, they pushed it back a few weeks, you know, so those last couple of weeks, you know, it's been crazy just because of, you know, the anxiety, you know, leading up to it.
What kind of anxiety are you feeling today now that the day is finally here?
I don't think I have much anxiety. You know I did everything I could on my part, you know, to help myself as much as possible. You know, I was completely honest with all the teams, you know, so I'm comfortable with what I've done, you know, so at the end of the day, I'm just going to just sit back and, you know, just wait till my name gets called.
When you rolled out of bed this morning, what was the first thing you thought?
It's time to go. That was the first thing that popped in my head, like, let's go, like, this is going to be a good day.
You've been here for a couple of days, and you've been around a lot of the other guys who are going to be drafted tonight, mm-hmm. or maybe into tomorrow. What, is there tension, like when you're with other defensive backs and receivers, do you feel any tension with those other guys?
No, not at all. You know, I think that's one thing that surprised me, you know. I know how I am. You know, I'm always going to size up the competition, like no matter where. But I think the great thing about this class, you know, is everybody is kind of close. You know, it's been so long. The process, we've seen each other so many times, you know, we all kind of became friends already, you know, so there's no bad blood between anybody, and we're all just rooting for each other.
When we fast forward to whichever team you're on and you come out of the the huddle and you see Calvin Johnson across yeah. from you, what's your plan for dealing with some of the best receivers like a Calvin Johnson?
You know, that's something I'm going to do week in and week out, you know, just how I prepare. You know, I've gone against receivers of that size, you know, maybe not as skilled, you know, but it's something that, you know, just I'll be used to, you know, by the time I practice enough, because there's guys like that on every team, you know. So not Calvin Johnson, you know, but guys similar to that. So I'll be getting myself ready throughout practice and things like that. So when it comes down to the game, I'll be ready.
A lot of cornerbacks considered possible first-round picks. What makes you better than any of the others?
What makes me better, you know, just my all-around, you know, just football sense, you know, my IQ, you know, my playmaking ability, my instincts, you know, and then I have a great athletic ability to translate what I want to do on the field pretty easily. You know, I'm a competitor. You know, I think I'm just an all-around corner, you know, and I think I'm a prospect that's kind of hard to find.
What lessons, if any, did you learn from the incident that happened a couple of weeks ago?
You know, just decision-making, you know. You got to make the best decisions for you and your family, you know, at all times. You got to know that people are out there, you know, watching you as closely as possible, waiting for you to mess up. You know, so I think it was a great lesson just knowing that the celebrity that comes with the position I'm at right now, you know, just making better decisions.
How concerned are you that could hurt you tonight, maybe cause a team to go in a different direction?
I mean, I can't control that. You know, I did the best I could, me and my agent, just to get out the facts, you know. I think that it was kind of mishandled in the media a little bit. So we just want to make sure we were completely 100% honest with all the teams. You know, I think they received it a little bit well, you know. You never know. You know, you never know how people are going to feel about things like that, you know, so you can't worry about it. You know, just stay positive, and we'll see today.
What would you say if a coach or a GM calls you today and says, put my mind at ease about what happened?
You know, I'll just tell him, you know, I just need a fresh start, man. It's like at the end of the day, you know, things like that happen. You know, I learn from them. Fortunately, it was things that I don't have to now still have to worry about. This on my record, things like that. You know, it's something I can look back at and like, man, that was stupid, you know, but learn from it, you know, and then make sure that those things don't happen at the next level, because at this level, you know, it's going to be blown up even more, you know, so I'll be ready for it.
What's the team that drafts Bradley Roby getting?
They're getting a winner. They're getting a winner, a guy who loves to play football, a great player. You know, someone's going to add kind of an aggressiveness, kind of an edge to their defense. You know, I think that's what every great defense needs is a corner like me, you know. So that's why I bring in any team.
Well, we wish you all the best. We'll be watching tonight. And good luck both tonight and moving forward, Bradley.
Thank you.
That was Bradley Roby, and don't be surprised if he goes in the teens or the 20s tonight, notwithstanding that recent off-field incident. And when we come back, another guy who could go in the teens or the 20s or possibly the top 10, no one really has a good feel for where quarterback Blake Bortles will be drafted. We'll ask him if he has a feel for where he's going to be selected. That'll be after the break. This is PFT Live. Welcome back to PFT Live here at 30 Rock in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And you know what? Draft day is a time for surprises. So let's start the surprises right now. I told you before the break that we would be hearing from Central Florida quarterback Blake Bortles. We're going to switch it up on you. Not that we did it intentionally, but maybe I should act like we did. Here's Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M quarterback, talking about all sorts of things, including whether or not he'd be interested in playing for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a fascination, Johnny, with where you're going to be drafted. People really can't get a feel for which team's going to take you. Do you have a feel for which team is going to call out your name tonight?
Kind of in the same boat as everybody else. I mean, I've heard from teams that really like me, and I feel like it would take me if the opportunity was there for them, but not really sure. It's kind of been a guessing game for a lot of guys this year.
Has anyone given you an indication that if you're there when they pick, that they're going to seriously consider taking you, or maybe even definitely take you?
No, sir. I've got teams that have said that I'm in a top category of guys that they're looking at and really like. But other than that, I haven't got any clear-cut team.
Make your pitch if somebody calls you up and says, you know, we're thinking about taking it, but we're not sure, what do you say to push him over the edge?
I think my competitive nature and me just being a winner in the past is put me in a good position moving forward. And I'm about football. I'm about getting better and trying to make myself as good as possible. And I'm really hungry, really, really dedicated to this process and dedicated to what I need to do to be good.
When people say that you're a backyard player or a playground player, is that a compliment or an insult?
I don't feel it as a slight or as an insult. I think they just hone in on that one part of my game and don't hone in on the overall style that I bring to the table. Yeah, that's part of it, but not every time did we just drop back and just run around and throw the ball on the run. That's not how it was. And if you really know football, if you really watch the game, you would see that.
What is it that you think you do better than any of the other quarterbacks who are going to be available tonight?
I mean, obviously, being able to extend the play a little bit and keep a play alive, but I want to be able to do that whenever I need to. So go through my progressions, take what the defense gives, and then when all else breaks down, then being able to use what's come natural to me for the entire duration of me playing football.
The criticism that's out there, fair or unfair, what's one that you would point out and say that's unfair? This is something that people say about me that is not fair.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it anything in particular. I think just stories being made out of nothing is a little bit crazy for me, not being able to do some things that are so incredibly normal that for me are a big deal for reasons unknown.
One thing I've consistently heard is that Johnny Manziel's teammates love him. Why do you think that is?
I love my teammates and I love those guys. I'll do anything for them, whether it's Mike, Jake, or Luke, or whoever it was that's played with me that's gone on to have a lot of success from top to bottom. Those guys mean the world to me, and whether it's high school friends or high school teammates to college teammates, it's always been that way. I mean, we were a close-knit group, and we had a lot of fun, and we've been through a lot together.
You've got two of the teammates here with you tonight, Mike Evans and Jake Matthews. Any talk among the three of you as to who goes first? Any competition there?
I don't think there's any competition. I think more than anything, we're happy for each guy. I think, in my opinion, is the best receiver and the best tackle in the draft, just from a personal standpoint. And more than anything, I think we're happy to be representing A&M and really showing how that program has grown. And I think Coach Sherman probably deserves a lot of credit for us being there, because he's the one that recruited us. He's the one that got us there. And two redshirt sophomores coming out after being in school 3 years. We have two tackles hopefully taken in the top 10 in 2 years in a row. Quarterback in Tannehill taken a couple years ago. And it's just a great testament to how our program was recruiting when Sherman was here and where it's going moving forward.
Johnny, you talked about coming out early. Would you have stayed another year if college football players were getting paid?
That had nothing to do with it. So that situation about college guys getting paid just didn't affect my decision. It was more, am I ready to make a jump to the next level? Do I think my skill set is ready for the next level? Do I want to continue to get better? And I'd done a lot at the college level, and Mike leaving, Jake leaving, just looking at the overall picture of it, it just felt right for me, and talking to the people that I did, felt like it was time.
You've talked in the past about how you were born at halftime of a Dallas Cowboys game back in 1992, and the Cowboys seem to be very interested, and they've been very complimentary. Is it in the back of your mind at all that maybe the Cowboys are the team that ends up taking Johnny Manziel?
I mean, anything is possible. I think all 32 teams are in play. You never know with some of these teams. They've done way wackier things than that. But for me, it would be really, really cool to go there, but not something that I have stuck in my head. But Jerry Jones has been extremely extremely nice to me. He's treated me very, very well, and we've developed a little bit of a friendship over the past year and a half, just going to games or whatever it may be.
How do you strike the balance between going to a team where maybe you'd be sitting behind an established quarterback versus going to a team where you would have a better opportunity to play right away?
For me, that doesn't factor in as well. Obviously, I don't get to choose where I go today, but also, I mean, it's what's best for the team, and that's what kind of guy I am. It's not I need to come in and start right away. I went to A&M and redshirted and sat behind Tannehill and learned a lot. There's guys that have been in the league and have know a lot more than I know going in. If I need to sit and learn from them for a year or whatever the case may be, then I'm openly willing to do that if that's what's best for the team. That's all I care about.
There was a report yesterday that you don't want to go to Jacksonville. Any truth to that or any other team that you would be ruling out?
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So absolutely no truth to that. I'm excited to be in this position and any team that takes me. I'm going to absolutely pour my heart out to that organization, to those guys in that locker room, whatever it is. There's no truth to that.
What is the city getting, whichever city it is, if Johnny Manziel comes and is the quarterback either now or for the future?
I think you're getting a football player that's extremely hungry and extremely dedicated to what he's doing. I feel like I want to be really, really good, and to do that, I need to put the time in and really become a professional and take this really seriously, which I've been doing the past 4 or 5 months since we've been in this process. I'm just trying to get better and trying to bring a winner to whatever city I end up in.
Well, congratulations on your success so far. It'll be fun to see how things unfold for you in the future. We'll be watching very carefully. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
Some say Johnny Football became Johnny Football in large part because of one of the guys he was throwing the football to, Mike Evans at 6'5". A lot of comparisons to Calvin Johnson. May not go quite as high as Calvin Johnson. He was second overall 7 years ago, but Mike Evans destined to go in the top 10, and he's destined to join us unless we surprise you again after the break. We'll be right back with Mike Evans from Texas A&M. This is PFT Live. Different month, same city, New York City, Radio City Music Hall. I love all this talk about moving the draft to another city. The draft belongs nowhere but New York City. That's just the NFL's way of squeezing Radio City Music Hall into coughing up a better deal so the draft can continue where it belongs and where it's been for several years now. The draft has been in New York City since 1965. I was born in 1965. A guy born a lot more recently than that, Mike Evans, on his way to the National Football League. He took some time earlier today to join us for PFT Live. Here he is. Mike, today's the day. Was there ever a time where it felt like it was never going to get here?
Yeah. You know, when we was training for the combine, you know, they pushed the draft back, and I was just sitting around waiting, you know, training, doing all these visits. But, you know, it's finally here, and I'm blessed to be in this position.
What was your first thought when you got up this morning?
My daughter was, like, laying on me. And I was hot. I like, pushed off. I was hot. But, you know, I looked at my phone and got all, like, the good luck texts and things like that. And, you know, it's a surreal moment for me and my family.
What kind of nerves do you expect to feel throughout the day, and specifically tonight when it's time to go to Radio City Music Hall?
I don't know, man. I've been telling everybody, you know, it hasn't really hit me yet. You know, today still feels like a normal day, you know. But, you know, hopefully, I don't know, maybe I'll get emotional. I don't know yet, but we'll see.
How much time do you spend looking at the draft order, looking at teams, trying to figure out which team is going to take Mike Evans?
I don't look. You know, just I know who's there, who's in what position, but I don't sit there and like pick and choose what team is going to choose me.
How many teams do you think are seriously considering you in the top 10?
Maybe probably around two or three.
Which ones do you think they are?
I had a great visit with Detroit, and great visit with the Bills, maybe Tampa Bay. I think I'll feel good in those systems.
Whichever team takes you, Mike, what are you bringing to that roster from day one?
Just you know, being a great teammate, instant playmaking ability, a guy that's going to do anything it takes to win, and you know, just be a great guy to be around.
Is the goal to be on the field starting week one with whichever team takes you?
That's the goal.
Do you think it's a realistic goal?
I think it is. You know, I set the bar high for myself. You know, cause you know I don't ever doubt myself. So you know, wherever team I go to, you know, I'm gonna fight for a starting job.
What's the best advice you've gotten from anyone as you've gone through this 4 or 5 month process?
Man, I've got a lot of great advice. Can't really single anybody out, but you know, maybe James Lofton.
told me to always take advantage of your opportunities, and you know, I've been trying to do that.
How much time have you spent thinking that, you know, tomorrow at this time, you're going to know which team you're on, you're going to be on the way to that city, you have no idea what city it's going to be? How do you go through the day thinking, you know what, tomorrow at this time, I don't know where I'm going to be, but I know I'm going to be somewhere?
It's exciting, you know. For some guys, it'll be nerve-wracking, but for me, it's exciting. You know, it's like getting your name pulled out of a hat randomly and just go to this city. But it's kind of exciting for me. It's a dream come true, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
They're letting you guys pick your own music for when you walk out tonight. What did you pick?
I picked Trophies by Drake.
See, I'm too old to know what that is.
You hear it.
I'll be listening.
Yeah.
I'll download it afterward. Yeah. I'll be checking it out. All right, Mike, we appreciate you taking some time. All the best tonight and in the future.
All right, thank you.
That's one of three Texas A&M players who will be here at Radio City Music Hall tonight. Mike Evans, along with Johnny Manziel and Jake Matthews, all three could be taken in the top 10. 15 years ago, a Central Florida quarterback named Dante Culpepper was taken 11th overall. Hard to get a feel for where Blake Bortles is going to be taken in 2014. We'll get his take on where he may be taken right after we take a break. How many times can I say taken? 25 seconds. Take. Take a look at these messages. Here we are back in New York City. Midtown Manhattan, 30 Rock, wrapping up today's PFT Live. The draft starts tonight, so before we close up shop until we come back at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time for NBCSN, let's hear from a guy who, and be honest, when you first heard his name, Blake Bortles, you assumed it was like some character from the Harry Potter books, but it's not. He's a real live human being, and he is a large man, 6'5", and he is ready to make his mark in the NFL. Earlier today, he sat down with me for a few minutes to go over the changes that are going to be coming for him pretty soon. Do you have an idea of your range? Because we hear that with all the guys, high, low. Do you have an idea of your high and your low?
Yeah, you know, I think you try and find like a high, you know, a roof and a ceiling, or a roof and a floor. And, you know, obviously the roof is one, and I think the floor is, I have no idea. It's something that is kind of up in question.
Would you rather go someplace like to a really good team and maybe sit for a year behind an established quarterback, or go someplace where maybe the team isn't so good but you play right away?
Right. Yeah, I think both are interesting. You know, I think if you look back on it, the guys that have been most successful are guys that have been able to sit behind a guy and been an understudy and then come in and play a couple years down the road. But there's guys that have also been successful starting from day one. So I think you know, it's just kind of the cards you're dealt and what you have to deal with, and you got to be able to roll with it.
Has any team given you an indication that if you're on the board when they pick, you're their guy?
No, I have not. Nobody's given me a definite, you know, if you're there, we're taking you kind of thing. So
Anyone said, don't worry, we're not going to take you, don't worry about that?
I haven't heard that either. I mean, I'm sure there are some teams like that that just probably aren't anywhere near the quarterback market, but they haven't directly said that.
A couple years ago, Russell Wilson said that he put the name of every team in a hat and pulled one out, and it was the Seahawks. Have you done anything like that?
No, I have not.
You still have time. You can do that
today?
Yeah,
maybe do it this afternoon.
What do you do better than any of the quarterbacks in this class?
Better than any other quarterbacks in this class? You know, I think physically, I think being 6'5", 240, being able to stand in the pocket, consistently throw the ball, being able to move and change launch points and extend plays and, you know, kind of shed defenders is something that, you know, as an extra thing that the defense has to account for. So I think that's something that I do a little differently.
Give me an area where you believe you need to improve if you're going to be successful in the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing that I've been working on since the end of the season was footwork. You know, making sure my footwork's consistent and, you know, when I have a pocket that it always looks the same and allows me to throw the ball, you know, when and where I want it.
Central Florida isn't exactly a quarterback factory. Dante Culpepper was the 11th overall pick 15 years ago. Do you go higher or lower than him? Or 11th like he did?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the goal is to go higher, you know, but Dante was a great ambassador for UCF, and, you know, I hope to do the same, you know, no matter where I'm picked, but definitely, I mean, I hope to go higher.
What's the best advice you've gotten from anyone as you get ready for this process?
The best advice I've gotten is to kind of just take it all in. You know, don't take it for granted. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that millions of kids wish they'd be able to go through. So definitely cherish every moment, every experience, every, you know, conversation and interaction.
I let you guys select your music that you walked out to. What did you pick?
Yeah, it's a surprise. It's a surprise.
Can you at least narrow it down, genre,
no,
artist?
No, it's a good rap song. It's
right.
A good rap song.
All right. Well, we wish you all the best. We appreciate you taking a little time. And tomorrow at this time, it'll be Blake Bortles of. Any gut feeling of
no,
anything?
Of one of 32, hopefully.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
One of the great questions for tonight, where will Blake Bortles be drafted? Really, where will anybody be drafted? We talked earlier in the show about how it could play out. No one knows, and that should make for an even more exciting and intriguing draft than usual. But either way, it's finally here. And before the draft gets rolling, be sure to check us out on NBCSN at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. A full hour of draft preparation. Sources close to me tell me that Sean King will be joining me here. I don't know how I feel about that, but I have no say in the matter. Sean King and me from here, Eric Casilius and Ross Tucker, and I think I even saw John Ritchie's name on the rundown. So either way, tune in and find out, 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, around the clock, all night long, all morning, all whenever at ProFootballTalk.com, and back here again tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon. Have a great day. Enjoy the first night of the draft. See you back here tomorrow.